Today on Enduring Word with David Guzik, pastor of Calvary Chapel, Santa Barbara.
What God requires to us in statements like love your enemies and do unto other people as you would have them do unto you. Those are very simple handles to grab hold of what God requires of us. But honestly, it doesn't make it any easier to obey. No one has ever consistently acted towards others the way that they would want them to be acted towards. But ladies and gentlemen, that's exactly what Jesus Christ wants to empower us to do as citizens of his kingdom.
Jesus lays out what it's like to be citizens of his kingdom. Do unto others as you would have them do to you. We're invited to be initiators of the good we want to receive. If we love those who love us already, what's the merit in that? The challenge is, what do you do to those that are not kind to you? Pastor David will teach that we can love those who hate us by drawing on God's strength. As Christians, we're called to be that different through God's power in us. Now, here's Pastor David with part two of his message, Witness of the Kingdom.
Ladies and gentlemen, you can only practice this kind of sacrificial love when we know that God will take care of us. Have you ever suffered loss from dealings with another person or even another believer? It kind of stuck in your craw, didn't it? Maybe you loaned them money and they didn't pay you back and it's uncomfortable between you and them now. Maybe there was some good or some possession or something like that that was mutual. I don't know, you know, the complexity of these things that could go on all, but you know what I'm talking about. Ladies and gentlemen, there you are. You're feeling hurt. You're feeling slighted. You're just feeling bitter in your heart because it's not set right. Can I just tell you, can you just say right now, Lord Jesus, I want you to set this right in my life. And I'm going to trust that I'm going to have my focus on you and on your greatness and trust that you can provide for me. Now, I know what you're thinking. You're thinking the same thing I think. You think, oh, good heavens, nobody can live like that. Where's the limit? I won't have anything. Look at all the people around asking for a handout. I walk up and down State Street and how many people are begging? If I give to every one of them, I won't have anything left. Great, what good is that? What's the limit to this kind of giving? I'll tell you what the limit is to this kind of giving. It's not complicated to figure out. It's very difficult to live, but it's not complicated to figure out. Here's the limit. The limit is love. Because you and I know that oftentimes giving to a person what they're asking for is not doing what's best for them. When you enable somebody, let's say who's in the midst of an addiction, and you give them the supplies to continue on in their addiction and in their sin and perhaps even in their depravity, are you helping them? You're not helping them at all. Love would establish the limit to say, I know you're asking for this from me, but I know it's not good for you for me to give this to you. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I know how that can be twisted. I know that we can conjure that up in our own mind, say, well, you know, it's not good for you. And as a matter of fact, it's not good for anybody for me to give to them. No, that's a twisting of this. I'm just simply saying there is an actual limit that we can impose on what we give to other people. And it's the limit that love itself would establish. I'm not going to give unto you if it would add to your hurt, even though you don't know it. I'm not going to give to you if it would add to your misery. That is the limit that Jesus would expect us to follow and expect to stick to. You know, I've done this from time to time. I think of it now. It's been a while since I've done it. Sometimes when somebody would be, you know, asking for a handout, I don't know if we call it begging anymore. Do we call it begging still? I really don't know. They're panhandling, whatever you want to call it, asking for a donation. There they are. And that sometimes I would go and I'd take out a dollar bill or maybe I'd take out a little bit more and I'd say, can I give this to you? But before I give it to you, can I pray? And of course, they'd be delighted to have me pray. They'd have me pray all day long if I'm going to give them money. And then this is what I'd pray before I gave them money. I'd say, Lord, I pray for this person as I give this money to them and I pray for this money. And Lord, if this is a good person who's going to use this money for something good and for something, really beneficial in their life or for food or for shelter, that I pray that you'd bless this money and that you'd bring them more. But God, I pray that if they're going to spend this money on drugs or alcohol or immorality, I pray that you'd curse this dollar and it would be the last dollar they see for a long time. Now, what's funny is the people who refuse the money after that. I've had more than one. No, thank you. Well, of course, I'm sure that many other received it under false pretense. But what I was trying to do, well, listen, not just give them, but maybe do some good in the situation. So I don't know, do we understand what I'm talking about here? We are to have open, giving, generous hearts. And the line that we draw for how much do we give and to whom do we give and in what situation we give, really, it's the line that love itself would impose. I can imagine a person that say, well, okay, I'm going to give it all away. I'm going to love them. I'm going to give it all away to that. And well, listen, have you just loved your family there? Your family's deprived. Your children are insecure. Your home is a wreck. No, you got to establish the limits that love itself would impose. But within that, couldn't you just pray a prayer that I think we should all pray along that way? God, don't let me use love as a cover for a lack of generosity. Give me a generous heart towards others. Now you speak of a generous heart towards others. Look at verse 31. And just as you want men to do to you, you also do to them likewise. What do we call this? We call this the golden rule, don't we? In the Matthew text, it's expressed a little different, but the thought is exactly the same. In the Matthew text, in the Sermon on the Mount, this is the Sermon on the Plain, but in the Sermon on the Mount, how is it expressed? Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Now, the negative of this specific command was known long before Jesus. It had long been said among the rabbis and even in the Old Testament, you should not do to your neighbor what you would not want them to do to you. But it's a very significant advance for Jesus to now put this into the positive, to say to you and I, you should do unto others what you would like them to do unto you. And in doing this, Jesus made the command so much broader. It's one thing to say, don't do this. Don't break any of the laws. Okay, well, that's wonderful. There you are, you're a driver. Don't break any of the traffic laws. Okay, I won't do anything bad. But listen, you could say, I won't break any of the traffic laws, but I won't pull over to help that stranded motorist. You see, pulling over to help the stranded motorist, the law doesn't command you to do that, but love in your heart, that's the positive. And Jesus said, don't leave it. Just was saying, I won't perform the negative. But he said, no, you must also perform the positive. And this is what he says, verse 31. You also do to them likewise. And ladies and gentlemen, all I can say is that this principle applies in a very powerful way in our interpersonal relationships. I think it's true in particular among the body of Christ. Honestly now, if you feel that among the community of Christians, you're not being treated the way that you would like to be treated, why don't you go out and find some other people and treat them the way that you'd like to be treated? I've seen this, and you know, it's just human nature. I don't mean to condemn it, but I do mean to expose it. Look, it's just this way. Nobody's friendly towards me. Nobody shows me any hospitality. Nobody invites me out to coffee. Nobody invites me out to lunch. You know, all those things are probably true. How many people have you invited out to coffee? Why don't you just go out and find somebody and treat them exactly the same way that you would like to be treated? And you know what? It works miracles, doesn't it? Isn't there such beautiful power in that? It's so simple. Now, it's not easy to perform. You see, when we boil down the essence of what God requires to us in statements like love your enemies and do unto other people as you would have them do unto you, those are very simple handles to grab hold of what God requires of us. But honestly, it doesn't make it any easier to obey. No one has ever consistently acted towards others the way that they would want them to be acted towards. But ladies and gentlemen, that's exactly what Jesus Christ wants to empower us to do as citizens of his kingdom. Because that's what he's laying out. He's laying out his manifesto of the kingdom, his agenda. This is what it's like to live in my kingdom. Let's continue on and just get our mind blown even more. Verse 32. But if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. And if you lend to those from whom you hope to receive back, what credit is that to you? For even sinners lend to sinners to receive as much back. But love your enemies, do good, and lend, hoping for nothing in return. And your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High. For he is kind to the unthankful and the evil. There's almost something in us, we realize it's beautiful, it's precious. We're hanging on every word that Jesus says. But there's another aspect to us that says, stop, Jesus. This is just too much. Especially when you expose this idea in verse 32. You lay this open in my life. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Man, Jesus, did you have to ask that question? You see, we should regard it as no matter of virtue and no imitation of Jesus if we merely return the love that's given to us. So you're nice to the people who are nice to you. Big deal. What do you do towards the people who aren't nice to you? What do you do towards the people who do unloving things against you? I want you to remember that Jesus is teaching here the character of the citizens of his kingdom. And we should expect that this character is going to be different from the character that's seen in the world. And there's many good reasons to understand why more should be expected from you as a Christian than other people who just live in the general population. I'll speak to you here tonight as if you're all followers of Jesus Christ. Maybe you're not. But you should be. But let's just say you're all followers of Jesus Christ. You've all been touched by the Spirit of God. You've all been given new life in Jesus Christ. God and the world has every reason to expect better conduct from you than other people in this world. After all, you claim to have something that other people do not have. You claim to be renewed and repentant and redeemed by Jesus Christ. You claim to have something that others do not have in the sense that you have a power that they don't have. You have a promise, don't you? That you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. I can't love my enemy. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can't bless that one who curses me. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can't bear the way that they rip me off. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. God and the world has every reason to expect a greater level of conduct from you. Ladies and gentlemen, you, if you're a believer, you have the Spirit of God dwelling within you. And you have a better future than those who don't know Jesus. Now, with all that, isn't it entirely reasonable that we should be able to say, what do you do more than others? What do you do? How is greater love demonstrated in your life? Now, can I just say, I don't want this to be all condemning. I want to thank the Lord that I do see wonderful love from the family of God. I want to thank the Lord that I see generous hearts, that I see giving people, that I see people who give of their time and their talents and their treasure to reach and to bless a needy world. I'm not trying to speak for a moment to say that these things are absent among us. I'm just trying to say that they should be more and more, and that we should never satisfy ourselves by measuring ourselves against what the world does. Never. Rather, we should only satisfy ourselves by saying, as citizens of his kingdom, what kind of conduct is expected of us? And if we do this, did you see what Jesus said in verse 35? He said, you will be sons of the Most High. We imitate God because you know what? God shows love towards his enemies. When you were an enemy of God, God still loved you. And he carried on his love and his grace and his kindness towards you. Isn't that a beautiful thought? Now God just says, I want you to imitate me in this. We can be like this, kind to the unthankful and evil. Did you know he said that in verse 35? God is kind to the unthankful and the evil. Sometimes it's harder to be kind to the unthankful than it even is to the evil. I did all that for them. They didn't even say thank you. They're not filled with gratitude. Well, keep being kind to them. Oh, but it's so hard. That's right. You got a God in heaven who fills your heart. He's kind to the unthankful and evil. You can be too, drawing on his strength. Verse 36, Therefore, be merciful, just as your Father is also merciful. Judge not, and you shall not be judged. Condemn not, and you shall not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be put into your bosom. For with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. Isn't that beautiful? Verse 36, therefore be merciful, just as your Father is also merciful. In the kingdom of Jesus, we have a pattern for the way that we should give mercy to other people. We should be merciful the way that we want God to be merciful to us. Ladies and gentlemen, how do you want God to be merciful to you? Let me ask it to you this way. What kind of measure do you want God to use when he's scooping out the mercy to you? You want him to use like a steam shovel, like a great big dump truck. That's the measure of mercy you want. Well, why is it that you want dump truck size mercy from God, but you give teaspoon size mercy to others? God says, if you're going to break out the teaspoon with other people, then I'll break out the teaspoon with you. Chew on that for a few minutes. And suddenly you'll backtrack. You say, no, Lord, I want to use that great measure of mercy with others. I want you to think about the life of one of the great people in the Old Testament, King David. King David, the greatest king over Israel. But in many ways, his life was a jumble of a few scandals and problems and difficulties in his life, in his ministry. And sometimes we look at the life of David and we say, God, why were you so merciful to him? Here's a man who put a scandal of adultery upon the kingdom of Israel. Here's a man who murdered the husband of the woman that he was committing adultery with. God, that's a punishable offense, not just in Israel, but in any civilized country. That's an offense punishable by capital punishment. Why did you spare the life of David? Why were you so merciful to him? And I'll tell you one reason why. Because David was so merciful to King Saul. Do you remember many occasions when David had the opportunity to wreak vengeance upon Saul? And he could have, and it was right in his hand to do it. But what did David do? David extended mercy. I think David, either by instinct or by instruction, knew this principle from the Lord, that if I want God to show great mercy to me, then I should show great mercy to other people. And that's what God says to you and to I today as citizens of this great kingdom of Jesus. In that same context, he says, verse 37, did you see that? Judge not, and you shall not be judged. With this command, Jesus warned against passing judgment upon others, because when we do so, we're going to be judged in a similar manner. Judge not that you not be judged. Isn't that funny? Don't you sometimes think that that is the world's most popular verse of Scripture? How many times have you had somebody who's hostile to Christianity quote that? People who don't know a lick of the Bible, they know that verse, don't they? And what do they love to quote? Judge not, lest you be judged. Don't you judge me, mister. Don't you tell me what's right and what's wrong. Now, of those people who seem to know nothing of the Bible, yet they seem to know this verse, most of the people who quote this verse have no understanding of what Jesus said. This is what they think or maybe hope that Jesus said. They hope that Jesus said something like this. You are absolutely forbidden to pass any value judgment on any kind of sin or lifestyle whatsoever. You are forbidden from doing it. You can never look at anybody's life and say that's good or that's bad, that's sinful or it's not sinful. You're absolutely forbidden from doing that. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm here. That is not what Jesus said here at all. Matter of fact, a little bit later in the same sermon, in Luke chapter 6, verses 43 through 45, which I thought we might get to tonight, but now I'm not so sure. But anyway, Jesus commanded us, he commanded us to know ourselves and to know others by the fruit of their life. How can you know yourself or anybody else by the fruit of their life unless you assess the fruit of their life in some way? Jesus called you and I, at least on some level, to be fruit inspectors. And to do so, you must exercise the faculty of judgment in some way. You see, ladies and gentlemen, the Christian is called to show unconditional love. But we are not called to show unconditional approval. And we can And might I say in particular in our present age, we must love people without approving of their conduct. I don't approve of your conduct. Matter of fact, your conduct makes me sad for yourself and the damage that it wreaks in your life. But I love you and I care about you. And I don't condemn you, but I care about you. So this does not prohibit examining the lives of others. But ladies and gentlemen, it certainly condemns the spirit in which we many times examine the lives of other people. You want to know a great example of unjust judgment that Jesus spoke against here? A great example of it is the woman who came to anoint the feet of Jesus with oil. Do you remember that occasion? It's in Matthew chapter 26, verses 6 through 13. This woman came to anoint the feet of Jesus with oil, and she poured out this precious ointment, and she wiped the feet of Jesus with her hair, and she just gave this great outpouring of love. And what did the disciples do? They stand back and they said, what a waste this is. What terrible motive she has. What an awful woman they shouldn't be doing. Ladies and gentlemen, that was unjust judgment. She was doing something beautiful and precious before the Lord, but they had a rash, a harsh, and an unjust judgment. Do you want to know how you really do break this command? You don't break this command by calling sin, sin, or by refusing to approve of every conduct that takes place in our society. But I'll tell you where you do break this command. You break this command when you choose to think the worst of other people. You break this command when you only speak to other people of their faults. You break this command when you judge an entire life by its worst moments. Would you want your life to be judged by its worst moments? But sometimes we do that, and that's judging unrighteous judgment. We break this command when we judge the hidden motives of others. We break this command when we judge others without considering ourselves in the same circumstances. We break this command when we judge others without being mindful that we are going to stand in the same judgment. You see, look at what Jesus said right there in verse 37. He said, condemn not and forgive. You see, it goes beyond just judging. You're not to condemn and you're not to withhold forgiveness. Ladies and gentlemen, it's really very simple. Jesus says it very plain, verse 38, that with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. Now, if that's true, then what should you do? He says in verse 38, give and it shall be given to you. Good measure, pressed down and shaken together and running over. Jesus encouraged us to have a freedom in giving that doesn't worry about giving too much. Do you worry about giving out too much forgiveness? Don't. Do you worry about giving out too much mercy? Don't. If it's true mercy. Again, what limit then do I apply? Ladies and gentlemen, you apply the same limit as always. What's the limit? Love is the limit. And we recognize that sometimes unconditional approval or support of somebody in their condition isn't loving them. It's moving them towards destruction, not towards something good. So we allow the limit that love itself applies, but we'll push it right up to that limit. See, we won't allow our own stinginess to be the limit. We won't allow our own bitterness to be the limit. We won't allow a spirit of retribution or selfishness be the limit. No, whatever limit is there, it's the limit that is established by love.
There's much more Pastor David would like to share with you, but we've run out of time for today. This has been another edition of Enduring Word, the radio ministry of David Guzik, pastor of Calvary Chapel in Santa Barbara, California. Pastor David will continue teaching verse by verse through the Gospel of Luke next time. You can order today's message for free by emailing us at radio@enduringword.com. Again, that address is radio@enduringword.com. Sometimes it is just easier to call. Our phone number here at the church is 805-730-1400. We'll be happy to help you. Again, that number to call is 805-730-1400. Now, here's Pastor David with some great information about the Enduring Word Commentary Series.
Hi, this is Pastor David Guzik. Over the years, God has led me to write simple Bible commentary through almost the whole Bible. At EnduringWord.com, you'll find free Bible resources that'll help you as you study God's Word. We're making these commentaries available in written format as well as audio. Here's Josh with more information about how you can support Enduring Word.
Thanks, Pastor David. We'd like to encourage you to consider supporting Enduring Word by partnering with us with a one-time gift or monthly donation. Your support helps this program extend its reach worldwide. Well, that's all the time we have for today. From all of the production team here at Enduring Word, we want to say thank you for tuning in. Next time, Pastor David will continue teaching through the Gospel of Luke. That's next time on Enduring Word.